The Sand Geeks. We are the Sand Geeks.
Hello, geeks. Welcome back to episode 87 of the Sand Geeks podcast. We are proudly sponsored, as you know, by the excellent Kajal Perfumes, who you can find at kajalperfumes.com. To make it even easier, you can go to our Facebook group, The Scent Geeks Podcast, and there's a link in there for you. If you use code GEEKS10, you'll get 10% discount. And make sure you stay tuned right till the end of the podcast, where we will give you details of the fantastic giveaway that Kajal are running every month. Now, I'm pleased to tell you, back by popular demand, we have my podcast buddy Steve from Frags to Riches. Hello, Steve.
Hello. I don't know what demand that is, but yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, hello. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. But we're joined by a third person. It is the weirdest account on Instagram, I would say. We are very honoured to be joined once again by Fragrance Weirdo, aka Dan Rothschild. Hello, Dan. How are you?
Hello, Chris. I am bloody marvellous. Thank you for asking.
Yes, now we've got microphones and everything sorted out, and we've got clear sound. We're all good.
Only took about 40 minutes.
It did, yeah. So we're going to have to see how we go. Last time we did this, it was a video call, wasn't it? So we could see each other. It sort of helps with the flow of conversation. But we're doing this blind, really. We can only hear each other. So should make for an interest. It's an interesting experiment. Let's put it that way. So first of all, Steve, how are you, mate? Have you had a good week?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good, cheers. It's been quite a good week, quite busy. Still building my garden office. I know I'm looking forward to hearing what Dan's been building, because I know he's been mixing cement today, so we'll find that out in a minute. But weekend's been quite full on, because it's been my little boy's birthday yesterday, so we had quite a full-on day, and we had a karate lesson and a karate grading, which we both passed. So
well done.
So yes, so we've now got our blue belts, so that's quite cool.
How far are you going? Are you going all the way? Black belt?
I'm going for black belt, mate. I want it. I want one. Yeah. I did martial arts when I was like a teenager, and I progressed a little bit, but I never kept it going. Mainly sort of logistics. It was all kind of because I couldn't drive, obviously, and my parents weren't very helpful. So and it's a bit costly. So yeah, I didn't stop. So now I'm thinking, yeah, I want a black belt. So hopefully, if my little boy stays at it as well, we'll both get them.
Brilliant.
So yeah, and then he had a birthday party today. So it's all been quite full on, to be honest.
Great.
So yeah.
Done. Any karate for you this week, or are you not into that?
No, not really a karate guy. The closest I've come to anything physical this week has been a bit of building, as Steve mentioned. I have been sorting out the front garden, which is going to get paved, and I'm doing that with my next door neighbour, who's a civil engineer, so everything has to be done absolutely correctly. I was sort of all up for just throwing some stone on top of the existing setup, but no, we've had to dig it down and concrete and the whole bloody megillah. It's quite hard work. The other exciting thing I've done this week was I had an injection in my knee, so I had to go to hospital and have a rather exciting large needle shoved under my kneecap, and a load of stuff stuck in my knee. It was great.
Oh, right. Have you got a knee issue? Have you got? Well, obviously you have.
Not anymore. It's magic. So now I can run again and all sorts. Okay. So it's great.
Right. Okay. Good. Well, I'm glad. Is running your thing? Is it? You're not obviously not karate, but are you a runner? You're a swimmer, I know. But
Definitely a swimmer. No, I used to do triathlon. I wouldn't say I did it particularly seriously. So I ran essentially just to do the triathlon stuff, and I run to keep fit, but no, it's mostly swimming. I just like to be able to do a couple of runs a week as part of the stress relief.
Yeah, sure.
No, I did not know you did triathlons, Danny. I mean, no. Damn, that's caught me off guard. That surprised me. I just
really?
You basically smell fragrances and then just moans about things. I didn't realise you had other hobbies.
No. I haven't actually done a triathlon for a few years because of injuries and then COVID. And I guess perfume may well have expanded to fill the triathlon shaped gap. And triathlon's a bit like, you know, CrossFit or veganism. You know, you meet someone who's into it, they won't shut the fuck up about it. They'll just talk and talk about their specialist subject. Well, that's now been replaced for me with perfume. And, you know, to the extent that I think my parents, even if they want to make conversation with me, they know an easy way in is to talk about perfume, because right. they'll just get me talking and I won't shut up.
Then, yeah, and they'll just go make it, go and put the kettle on and just let you go on and talk about perfume.
Yeah.
But then is that a hobby that you do kind of squeeze into conversation, Dan? Because I find it's such a sort of niche hobby that, like, actually when people ask me, I'm almost a bit like, I can't be asked to get into it. Do you know what I mean? If someone else is into it, I'll happily talk about it. But if somebody's not and they're like, oh, so you're into fragrance, so you're quite happy to jump into it and kind of start offloading onto them about all your little sort of favorites, your nuances and what you'd like, or do you know what I mean? How are you?
So it's interesting. You know, it certainly isn't the first conversation I have with someone if I meet them. Certainly, like my colleagues at work, it took me, I don't know, best part of 6-9 months to even sort of mention the fact that I have my Instagram page to any of them. But then that was all, I suppose, during COVID when they couldn't smell me anyway. So I guess when... you know, before COVID, when travel a lot more with work and be in an office more frequently, then, you know, perhaps it comes up in conversation. Someone says, oh, you know, you smell nice, or I can smell you, which is more frequent.
You smell awful.
Yeah. Well, you have a strong smell.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's not pretty neutral. Incidentally, someone made a very astute observation, I thought, that, you know, when people say, you smell nice, what they really mean is I can smell you.
Yeah.
You know, as in I have detected you're wearing a lot of perfume. That, yeah. You know, they may not really like it. There's a good chance they're just being polite.
I think you're right. If they do really like it, I think they would ask you what it was, because they want to buy it either for themselves or for their other half.
Exactly.
Or I think you can hear if it's a bit more natural, if it's kind of almost a bit of a surprise, like perhaps you hug them and they go, oh, you smell nice. What's that? Like, that's a bit more of a natural, perhaps they do like it. But like you say, if you're sitting there and then they kind of go, oh, are you wearing fragrance? What is that? It's kind of, it's a bit more, like you say, an observation rather than a compliment sort of thing.
Yeah, and actually, I don't tend to get a lot of compliments. So, you know, as a conversation piece, you know, it's not something I tend to talk to people a lot about, but the people who do know that that's what I'm into, you know, they know that I can talk all day about it. Just as a side note on compliments, by the way, I was talking to my eldest daughter the other day, and she tends to just wear whatever. She just helps herself to my perfumes. Doesn't matter how expensive they are, whether they're male marketed or what. She just grabs the ones that she likes and she wears them. She did say, she said I really enjoy getting compliments. I get told so often, you smell great, and I really like that. And I thought, yeah, maybe she'll get into perfume as well. That's not how I came to it, but you know.
Do you know what her biggest compliment getter is of the ones that she borrows from you?
I do, actually. Oh. And it's Moschino Toy Boy, is absolutely brilliant. And I know it's marketed as masculine, I think.
Yeah.
But I wear it, she wears it, and it smells fantastic on both of us.
Totally unisex. It's a rose fragrance, yeah, isn't it? It's totally unisex. Yeah.
It is. Unisex. It's a rose fragrance, and there's a chap who I follow on Instagram a lot, and whose reviews are all over Fragrantica. Goes by the name of Houdini. His actual name's Jim. But Jim's analysis of it, I thought, was really interesting. He said that what they've done is they've used a very small amount of natural rose, and then they've used synthetics to sort of amp it up in such a way that it kind of preserves the original integrity of the natural rose, which, I mean, that sounds to me technically very interesting. I don't really know what it means, but it sort of gives that impression of, look, they've worked real miracles on a designer rose budget, which I think is great. And the scent and the bottle is just, I think it's brilliant. And it's a future.
And that's how synthetics should probably be used as well, to support the prominent natural notes, to help those notes. Yeah. Okay.
I think before we just kind of move on from that, you've already probably already made the point there, really. But Toy Boy is a great designer release. Like it's because it's one of those ones that I think if you like it or not, you can still respect it, particularly from a designer point of view. Do you know what I mean? Because so many designers are released now and they're quite samey, or they're kind of like you've smelt it before. Or it's kind of very similar to something else. With that, I think it's unique. It's really good quality. It's sort of standout. It's a standout release. Do you know what I mean? I think if you just look at it as a release, I think it's one of, if a fragrance garners respect from people, even if they don't like it, you sort of know it's a good release, if that makes sense. So, and I think Toy Boy is one of those.
I would go along with that. And as you know, one of my favourite subjects is fragrances, what I dislike. But you mentioned some of the recent releases, you know, the most recent Ralph Lauren one, I think I mentioned last time when I was on, but also I tried that, the robot one, what's it called? Phantom.
Phantom.
Yeah, the Paco Rabanne. What a piece of shit that is. Just fucking awful.
I've not smelt it.
Well, I love the concept, right? It's a sort of AI-inspired fragrance where a whole bunch of master perfumers work together and their work was sort of supplemented by AI and almost to create the perfect fragrance. But nobody stopped to actually try it and go, hey, wow, this is fucking shit. This is absolutely a travesty. It's a terrible, terrible perfume by any measure, as far as I'm concerned.
It's like that analogy of a camel is a horse designed by a committee, isn't it? If too many people are chipping in, having their say, that's what you end up with. You just end up with this fucking thing that misses the mark because you tried to please too many people.
Too many cooks.
Exactly, it's that thing. Have you smelt it, Chris? I haven't smelt.
Nope, I've not smelled it yet. No, I've seen a few reviews, and I think it says like a, is it like a slightly gourmand, apple-y style, sweet, designery fragrance.
Yeah.
So a Paco Rabanne fragrance, basically.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it is, and it you know, you'll detect a lot of the bigger selling sort of accords, I guess. There's a sort of bluishness to it. There's a gourmand-ishness to it. There's an apple note to it. It's like sort of, it's all the greatest hits, you know, like if you took the number ones, like every number one through the last decade and sort of jumbled them up together. But it just comes off like this horrible, fucked up, wrong soup of notes.
Right, awful. I need to try it now.
you'll probably think I'm talking shit and it's brilliant. But no, I just hated it beyond all measure.
I mean, you can tell we've got Dan on the podcast because this is the earliest we've ever got into fragrance chat, I think.
Sorry.
Yeah, we're still on
your office at this stage, Steve.
And then we move into the smoulder section of the podcast. Yeah. So this is,
and then
this
the
is
looks
all fresh
plugs.
Yeah, this is all fresh material for us. This is great stuff.
Well, with that being said, should we get it stuck into the arse?
Yeah, sure. I do like diving into the arse.
Okay. I'm sure Dan knows it is the audience recognition section, just to make that clear, that it isn't that type of podcast.
You're diving into the arse. I was sitting here wondering what you were talking about. But yeah, good.
There we go. You can tell Dan's a regular listener. Dan, you should be, considering how much... So, obviously, we wanted Dan to come back on the podcast, and so did many other people. They requested it. But to the point where Dan kept telling us the number of people that were asking for him to come back, because he wanted to come back. He was literally
tagging us in posts.
Look how popular I was. Look, get me back on.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He's playing it all cool now, like we had to beg him to come back. Anyway, right.
Steve, so go on, let's start. Let's go with the Kofis, shall we? Or the one.
We've only got one. So everybody can support us if you want financially. It helps with the hosting fees and all that shit if you go to ko-fi.com/thescentgeeks, all one word. I think from what I can see, we've only had one this week. There is a little question in there, which I'm looking forward to getting Dan's input because I know this is a style of fragrance that he likes. So it comes... I do apologise if I butcher your name. So it's Yashiel. If I pronounce it 12 different ways, you think one of them's got to be right, isn't it? So it's like, throw enough shit at the wall, one of them's going to stick. So it's either Yeshul, Yesiel, I don't know, but you know who you are. Anyway, you said, thank you for your Kofi as well. They said, great job with the podcast, guys. I really enjoy listening to it. I'm a fragrance aficionado from Miami. Congrats to Chris on Smolder. I bought it and I'm really enjoying it. What are your recommendations on a Sheepra fragrance? Would love to hear from you guys. Well, I think we've got the right man for the job on this podcast, because that is one of your favourite style of fragrances, is it not, Dan?
It's probably my second favourite, although the Fougère is kind of way out ahead, because I'm sort of a real Fougère fruitcake. But yeah, Sheepra, for me, there is... well, so I'll tell you a little story, if you like. I went to Harrods, actually, a couple of weeks ago. I managed to get down to London and I tried the what I think is a new Sheepra from Henri Jacques, which is called Merveilleuse, and it's absolutely stunning, as you'd expect it to be for £480 a bottle, but actually it does not come close to Sheepra Extraordinaire by Roger Dove, which for me, and I know it's an absurdly expensive perfume, I think retail price is like £1,500, which is, you know, it is lunacy, absolute lunacy, but it does smell absolutely incredible. And I think, you know, for that sort of classic Sheepra sort of vibe, there's that. Obviously, if you want to go a bit vintage, the Guerlain, Mitsuko. So I've got a Mitsuko extrait, which I think is from like the 1960s maybe. It's ridiculously old, and it is staggeringly beautiful.
I have a Shalimar miniature from around the same era, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. It smells amazing.
Yeah, they really do. And I think we sort of touched on gender in fragrances as well, but Shalimar, of course, was, and indeed Mitsuko, were both marketed as women's perfumes. But I think that the whole Sheepra thing has changed significantly. And now Sheepra is really, if not overtly masculine, at least definitely a unisex kind of thing, you know, oak moss heavy fragrances.
Yeah, I think I'd probably go along similar lines, actually, because one Sheepra that just blows my mind every time I smell it, again, we're talking about a Roger here, and I'm gonna say Diaghilev is just crazy. Every time I spray Diaghilev, I forget how wild it is when you first spray. There's so much going on, such a complex fragrance, but not in a messy way, in a really intriguing way. And it's a big, bold, sort of baroque fragrance. I don't know if I could wear it that often, but when I do, I absolutely love it. And of course, many people will compare that to being a similar profile to Mitsuko as well. And obviously Roger has the connection with Guerlain, so maybe it is his homage to Mitsuko, but again, it's very expensive.
Why, when you say you couldn't wear it very often, is it because it's not very versatile, or you think it might be a bit much, or you might get fed up with it if you did, you want to just wear it infrequently and enjoy it? Or like, why I'm just curious to the reasoning why you wouldn't.
It is a very loud fragrance. It's a room filler, so yeah, it's one you definitely have to just be careful how much you sprayed. But I think it's one, personally for me, I've got to sort of be in the right mood for it. When I'm in the right mood for it, I love it. But it's not one that, it's not a dumb reach, let's put it that way.
No, and you know, to sort of use a clothing analogy, even if you had a kind of a Brioni suit, or a kind of you know, a Versace tuxedo, you wouldn't wear it every day. You wouldn't take the kids to netball in it. You wouldn't you wouldn't build your garden shed in it. It's just it's a special occasion thing, and certainly those enormous Sheepras that Roger does particularly well.
He does,
yeah. those are special occasion fragrances, I think.
I agree.
Fair.
Yeah. How about you, Steve?
To be honest, it's not. I'm not.
You're not Sheeper really guy, are you?
No, I'm not really into. I've not tried many. I've only tried a couple. So hands up. I could quite possibly be converted, but as it stands currently, it's not really my style of fragrance. And I've not inspired to delve into it either to find the one that I like either, just because it's not really my style. But I'm sure there is one out there. So
being the basic bitch that you say that you are, I can't imagine you just rocking Diaghilev, to be honest, mate. But never know.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't see it either. But if I could throw one sort of random one in, which might actually work for you as well, Steve, is a Chypre Azural by Les Indemodables. Okay. I've probably just butchered their name, but there you go.
Good to me.
But it's actually, I don't know why it's called Chypre Azure, because it doesn't smell particularly like a Chypre to me. It smells more like a kind of fizzy Fanta, fizzy orange sort of fragrance.
I do like an orange mandarin accord, so that sounds good.
It is really bright, effervescent, very durable, really, really nice, and quite unique. Nothing, not like anything else I've tried. You may well like that, and it's much more affordable than the Roger ones.
Just out of interest here as well, I just did a little search, and I didn't really realise, but I don't know if you know, Steve, CK1 seems to be classed on the Chypre scale. And you like that one, don't you?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I used to rock that a lot back in the day before I've always enjoyed smelling nice, but back in the day, I think we've discussed this numerous times, but I used to have basically like one or two sort of cheaper fragrances I just used to wear daily drivers to work, and then a couple of more expensive ones, which weren't actually expensive, like, but at the time they were. For like going out, and yeah, CK1 was my sort of quite regularly my daily driver office sort of work fragrance.
Well, there you go, CK1, the Chypre for basic bitches.
Well, there you go. There you go.
You've got one.
Has there been any reviews, Chris?
No, you bastards haven't reviewed us for weeks now. Come on, guy. I guess everyone who listens and has access to iTunes, because that's the only platform you can review, has probably done it. If you are a listener and you haven't yet given us a review and you were able to do so, please do, because it helps us out, basically. It makes us feel good about ourselves. So no reviews, but I do want to read out a question from our Facebook group, which we can all have a crack at answering again. So this is from David Manklow, and he says, just listening to the most recent podcast, great episode as always. Huge praise to Steve for mentioning mental health, which is great. A lot of people have commented on that, so that's lovely. So his fragrance question is, I'm trying to decide which of these I want to ask for Christmas this year. What would you choose out of MFK Grand Soir, Parfum de Marly's Leighton, Tom Ford's Tobacco Vanille, and Memo's African Leather? You've probably only smelt one of those, so I know which one your answer would be. Do you just want to go ahead and say it? Oh, it's not. Okay.
That's not true. I did actually respond in the Facebook group because I'm nice like that. But I said, well, obviously, Parfum de Marly Leighton is one of my favourite fragrances, so obviously I would say that. But kind of being a bit more kind of objective about the whole thing, I think Tobacco Vanille, there's a lot of sort of sweet tobacco style fragrances. I'm not saying they're necessarily better, but I think if you're considering tobacco vanille, I think there's quite a few you could sort of try and explore before you settle on that one personally. I think everybody goes to that one, and it is without doubt rock solid, but I think I wouldn't default to that one. I mean, that the one I mentioned a couple of times a few weeks ago that we discussed, the X Alt Nui from Big Beer Businesses.
Yep. Navitus.
That I think is a lovely sweet sort of tobacco. I really enjoy that one. But there's loads out there. In fact, one of the ones I've sort of tried this week, I'll mention later on in the podcast, is another sort of sweet tobacco. So there's quite a few on that. So for me, I would possibly say one of the most revered fragrances in there is probably Grand Soir. I feel like it's something that most people should probably own or at least try. I'm not a huge amber fan, so actually I don't praise it as much as some, but I think, I mean, we've had Clements on the fragrance on the,
that's
on the podcast.
Her favorite, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of her absolute favorites. And I think nearly everybody, like Nigel, it's one of his absolute favorites. I think it's highly revered fragrance that I think if you're a Fraghead, you should seriously consider having it in your collection. Mm. So that'd probably be my pick.
Dan, are you able to provide any help to David on this one?
Of the four, yeah, I think I'd also go Grand Soir. The one thing I would say is it got reformulated about 2 years ago, so you need to try and find an older bottle if you can. It went from being a room filler, which I rather like that expression you used earlier. Went from being a room filler to being actually a reasonably tame perfume these days. But still, of those four, I think it's the best. African Leather is a really good shout because I really like that. But again, I think that also sadly was reformulated. And then Tobacco Vanille, I think that is dull. Just really, really dull and Leighton. I think Leighton for me is a great perfume, but it's it feels like you'll be able to probably go to the shop and buy Leighton in 5 years or 10 years and it won't have changed. You know, there's no time bomb on that. I think I would try and dial back the clock a bit and try and find a Grand Soir from a couple of years ago.
Mm. It's so difficult, isn't it, when people ask for these recommendations. Like all the time on YouTube and Instagram, we get people saying, could you recommend me a fragrance that is good for Christmas? I live in the desert. And first of all, you don't know how old they are. You don't know what their tastes are. It's really hard. And I will often not make these recommendations because if you make one that I like, if I make one that I like and then they get it and they buy it because I've recommended it and then it's not for them, then you feel a bit shitty that you've recommended. And sometimes they might come back and say, it's awful. Why did you recommend that one? So it's easier almost not to recommend them sometimes. So it can get into dangerous territory, actually. But this is a hell of a list. I love all. I think Tobacco Vanille is gorgeous as well. I'd say it sort of depends, David. I think if you want something you can wear quite often without too much thought but still smell fantastic, I think it would be Leighton. I think that is fairly versatile. I think possibly similar to African Leather in terms of versatility, but I think those two are a bit more versatile than Grand Soir and Tobacco Vanille maybe. But in terms of I'm going Leighton. I think you're not going to go wrong with Leighton. I think it suits lots of different situations and occasions. I think it's a very likeable smell that you will like and that people around you would like. So there you go. You got two for Grand Soir, which would be a hell of a choice, and one for Leighton. So looks like you're going with Grand Soir for Christmas, David.
David did reply to my comment, so there's a point in there that I just want to bring up because just to get Dan's input, well, and yours actually, Chris. Obviously, I basically commented words to the effect of what I just said a few minutes ago, and he said, I've tried all alternatives to Tobacco Vanille and recently tried the recent release from Dior, Vanilla Diorama, which is gorgeous, but like with the other alternatives, I find that they don't have that special edge that Tobacco Vanille has. So have you two gentlemen tried Vanilla Diorama, and what are your thoughts, please?
I haven't.
Okay, I have. I thought it was boring. I tried it at the airport. It just did not gain any level of interest from me at all, I'm afraid. But to offset the slightly negative commentary there, I can offer a positive, which is if you want Tobacco Vanille but with a twist, and, you know, to my mind, a perfection, it is Xenia's Elements of Man Strength. It's called Strength. And to me, that is a far better interpretation of the sweet tobacco fragrance genre. It doesn't have that sort of claggy, dried fruit heaviness that I get with Tobacco Vanille. It's sort of, it manages to be warm but bright at the same time. And I could heartily recommend Strength by Xenia.
I could also recommend a similar profile actually to Tobacco Vanille's Faden's Tabac Rouge. which is along the same lines, but I think it leans more into honey than it does into vanilla, and it's not quite as loud. So I'd say it's perhaps a little more restrained and refined than tobacco vanille. It's not quite as shouty. So that's a good alternative too.
I was just going to ask Dan, actually, Xenia, because Xenia's a funny house in the sense that they can be very affordable, cheap and cheerful type cheapies, and also they go high end. So where does that strength sit? Do you know the price point?
I don't off the top of my head.
I think the Elements ones are of the more expensive lines.
They certainly are. The Elements of Man range has four in them, and they're definitely quite pricey, but you can get them on secondary markets like eBay for much, much better prices. I mean, you know, I have a sort of congenital aversion to paying retail anyway, as you probably know, but certainly with the Xenia ones that I've got, I've picked them up on eBay for about 60-70 quid, I think. And they are, I think, a very underrated line, the Elements of Man. Strength and passion in particular from that line are superb, as is talent, I think. And there's another one which I wasn't so keen on.
Full retail on those is 170 for 100 mil.
Yikes.
There we go. That sort of line does sound like they asked Jeremy Fragrance to name them, doesn't it?
Like, it strength, does. Power, wisdom.
Cocaine, Ferrari.
Okay, brilliant. Well, shall we move on to the next section, which is let's sort of make quick work of this, guys, shall we? And talk about what we've been wearing. So, Dan, you're the guest this week. So, would you like to let us know what you've been wearing?
I know for a fact that Dan's been wearing one of our sponsors' fragrances this week.
Yes.
I commented on it, didn't I?
So yeah, you did. You did. And it was Kajal Hom 2, I think it's called. And I wore that at the beginning of the week. And it's perfectly pleasant. It's not a bad fragrance at all. But for me, it wasn't quite as out there as some of the other stuff that I've been craving this week. So I wore that. It's very, very strong, I will say that. And certainly I've been craving strong fragrances this week. So
It is very strength. Easy to wear, that one.
Strength. Yeah.
Elements of Dan, strength.
Yeah, super strong. So Interlude 53.
Talk about strong.
Me. That is a... that is just... so good. It's ridiculous. Well, interestingly, like the original Interlude is too crazy for me to wear. It's too diffusive, but the 53 version actually wears a bit closer. It goes on for longer, but it's more sort of smooth and dialed back in terms of its severity. It just goes on for longer, and I think it is absolutely amazing. I mean, hands down for me, that is the perfume of the year. Wow. So far.
Well, and they're pursuing that line, aren't they? Because they're doing stronger concentrations of a lot of their popular fragrances, including Reflection Man. Who knew they'd ever do that? Reflection 45 is coming.
45, yeah. Jeez. And you imagine there's going to be a Jubilation 50 and like a or maybe even a Jubilation 75, whatever. I'm really into that at the moment. And by the way, I could talk about Amouage's pivot in direction all day, so maybe that's a discussion for down the pub, but I think they've done a really nice creative pivot, not completely throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but they are they're really going places again. I've also worn Electimus Sumanus, which is like this brutal rose oud, which is really nice, and a German perfume from a house called Allendorf, called Wild Night, which is again a pretty massive fragrance, tobacco based, not sweet though, it's almost like astringent. Really, really good. So yeah, I've had a fantastic week of brutally strong perfumes.
Great. All right, your wife must be loving it.
Yeah,
she liked the strong ones.
No.
No. You've been in the spare bedroom all week then.
Indeed, exactly.
Steve, what have you been wearing?
I'll keep it short because I've not worn too much new stuff this week. I tried a sample. I'm going to kind of, just to balance things out, I'm going to go down the sort of cheapy designer end away from Dan here, because I had a sample. I don't even know what I got it with. I got a sample thrown in with some fragrances. I think it was might have been that Blur Electrique, the new Le Nuit de L'Homme. Mm. I think when I received that, I had some samples in there, so I just tried some of those this week. So one of them is Kenzo Homme, the Eau de Toilette Intense, which is a new one for 2021. That is relatively intense, actually. It's very strong if you like marine fragrances, fresh kind of aquatic fragrances. Give it a go. It's quite Dan, I don't think you'd find it interesting. I don't think the sort of quality's there. It's very designery. It's I've sort of smelt something similar many a time, but hell, if you're in a sort of a department store at some point, if you can smell it, give it a whiff. If you like aquatic fragrances, give it a go. It's in the UK, you can get it for about looking on Latino, sort of 30 or 40 quid. So, hell of a cheapie on that one. And another one, again, I guess this sort of balances out. This one's not too bad. You can get it for about 50 quid. Was one of from our friends at Pocket Sense. I had a sample. I'm still working through loads of samples that Russ sent me. And I tried cherry and tobacco. So, I mentioned earlier some alternatives to that sort of sweet tobacco fragrance. I've actually got it on my hand now, just to remind myself when we started recording, and it's very nice. It's actually, the cherry's not that strong for me. It's definitely there, it's noticeable, but it's not the strongest cherry fragrance I've ever smelt, but the tobacco's very much there. So, similar sort of story. If you like sweet tobacco fragrances, maybe give it a go. If you like cherry, or like the idea of cherry and tobacco, it probably smells exactly how you imagine it would be. So, yeah, maybe give that one a go as well. Other than that, pretty much same old for me, so that's probably the two I'll leave you with.
Okay, cool. Well, I've gone for a couple of strong ones this week. I've worn, from Rogue Perfumery, I've worn Mousse Illuminée and Chypre Siam, and so these are very sort of bold, brash, vintage, retro style fragrances that smell great. I mean, going back to room fillers, these boys are going to do that for you. Really been enjoying those. If you like things with sort of that 70s, 80s powerhouse sort of smell, barbershoppy, fougere stuff, then they're great. And then Mare Treachery, another strong one, which is it's like spicy, boozy, chocolatey tobacco fragrance. So that's, as we sort of move into towards autumn, that is going to work beautifully, I think. I've really been enjoying that. One of my favourites I've discovered this year is Matière Libre. It's called Patchouli Fig, which is beautiful. And I also wore one of my favourites this week, which, you know, I have a lot of weeks where I'm wearing things that I'm sort of testing and things that I've got to get through, but at least one day in the week, I try and pick one of my favourites that, you know, I wear one for me, basically. And I chose Pardon by Nasmato. I wore that yesterday and thoroughly bloody enjoyed it. That's pretty much been my week in fragrances.
Oh, there's one more I wanted to shout out, if I may. I've just remembered it. It's actually... I don't know, I totally forgot I had it, and I was kind of short on my shelf, so I was like, oh, I kind of really need to kind of smell that again, because I haven't smelled it in ages. And it's from Rosa Salis, so they're actually a bit of a clone house. We've discussed clones a million and one times. They do have some original creations in their range as well, but their Sahara Velvet is inspired by a Velvet Desert Oud, which I've not smelled. I'm assuming Dan probably has. I don't know if you have, Chris.
I don't know what it is.
Fuck me, that's...
It's the Dolce & Gabbana private line one, is it?
Yes. Yeah. No. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, mate, that smells incredible. It smells really, really good. It's basically like a... It's like this leather, but it's got this lovely kind of sort of sweetness to it. But again, not sickly sweet or too over the top. But with the Oud's not too heavy or anything like that. It's just a, like... It's just really, really nice. It's just one of those ones that I just really enjoy.
What's it called again, Steve? Sorry.
So it's Rosa Salis Sahara Velvet. They sort of number their fragrances as well, I think, to help people find it. So it's number 18. And it's inspired by a Velvet Desert Oud, which, as Chris said, I think is the Dolce & Gabbana. It's absolutely lovely, and it sounds really stupid. I actually sprayed it, and then I kind of went for a car drive, and I thought, I think this sounds derogatory, and I don't want it to be, but I thought this would kind of be quite good to spray in the car, because you know you sort of want your car to have that sort of lovely like leather smell inside, but yeah. it's really lovely and feeling. So I did actually spray some on like my car mats and things, and I say I don't want that to be derogatory. Actually, it's a compliment, and it's lasted all week. I still get it now. I like put my boy in after his football class this morning. I opened the door and I got a waft. I was like, oh, bloody hell, that is lovely. I'm really pleased with that decision. To be honest, it's awesome. Absolutely gorgeous scent. So yeah, I urge people to check that out, or perhaps check out the original if you're a bit of a Billy Big Pockets.
Yeah,
nice.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's worth checking TK Maxx for that Dolce & Gabbana line, because I think I got one for about £80 in there, which was nice. A reasonable price. Yeah, considering it's their higher end luxury line, they're a lot more expensive than that at full retail. So yeah, worth checking those out now and then. As we know, Dan's come away from TK Maxx with some blinding deals in the past, so
yeah.
I'm sure we can recommend that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a good old haul. Just a couple of comments, if I may, Chris, on your wares, because certainly I've tried a few of the Mayer ones, and I think they're fantastic. It's Sean, isn't it? Is that his name?
I believe Sean Mayer.
And I think he produces them all himself in the States. They are really good. Then you also mentioned Mousse Illuminée, which I think I am the only person in the world that doesn't like that one. For some reason, it triggers a memory of boiled cabbage. I have no idea why. But it does. Same house. I don't know if you've tried Bon Monsieur, which is
yes,
superb.
I love it. It's sort really of good. In the realm of Invasion Barbar to me.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's closer for me to the vintage Rive Gauche.
Right,
you know, the Yves Saint Laurent, but it is Yves Saint Laurent, isn't it? But Rive Gauche and Bon Monsieur is amazingly good. Really, really nice sort of shaving creamy sort of vibe.
I was absolutely going to say that style of fragrance, like the MDCI and this one, I classify those as those really nice old school shaving foamy type fragrances. Mm. Really does it. It's beautiful, isn't it? And powerful stuff too.
Mm, it really strong, really. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, so there we go. Rogue, available at Lux Parfum. There we go. There's the Lux Parfum plug. Thanks for bringing that one back up, Dan.
Yeah.
Forgot to plug it when I was talking about it.
Can send me my tenner later.
Well, since you set me up for a plug, I'm going to set you up for one as well, because there's something interesting happening in your world right now, because not only are you buying and smelling other people's fragrances, you are going to be producing your own fragrance line for people to buy and sell, hopefully. So I don't really know too much about this, so I'm hoping you can enlighten us a little bit. So tell us the name of the brand and how it came about.
So for the longest time I was quite apprehensive about even putting my name to it, because I didn't want to sort of I didn't want to appear to be trying to sort of leverage off my Instagram account or anything, but bollocks, I've gotten over myself. As far as
for you, mate.
Yeah.
Why not?
So the brand is called Soma, S-O-M-A. We will have a website soon. We're just waiting for some artwork, but we have an Instagram page, Soma Parfums. And it's going to just be a range of three perfumes to start. I've had no part in producing them. You know, I'm not a qualified perfumer or even a sort of self-taught one. I know bugger all about this stuff. All I can tell you is what I think smells good, and what I like. It sort of came about a little bit by accident. I guess there's two sort of forces driving this. One is that I've always wanted to try and do something perfume related as part of my living, because I really love the sort of the whole perfume vibe. You know, if you can turn your passion into your business, then you know you'll live long and prosper, and that's kind of essentially where I was at. I just kind of would like to do something that would pay the bills whilst allowing me to piss around with perfumes. So there's always been that gnawing away at the back of my mind. But the way it came about was I did an Instagram collaboration a year or two back with a brand. I won't name the brand right at the moment, but I ended up talking to the perfumer, who's a guy based in Spain, and over quite a few conversations, eventually a sort of idea crystallized that was like, hey, why don't I just launch some perfumes? You know, this guy is on my wavelength. We seem to connect. He understands what I want to do. He's happy to produce the actual fragrances. So he's essentially going to create, or he has created three core perfumes, and I will essentially produce, manufacture, bottle, and distribute them myself. And it's really as simple as that.
That's exciting. You must be excited about this then.
I'm excited about it, but it is super, super hard work. You have no idea. Well, actually, that's a complete lie. Of course, you personally do have an idea, having been through the experience with Smolder. But I think, most people would not have any idea just how much effort and sort of complexity goes into the most trivial of things. Trying to deal with suppliers in China, for example, on bottles and boxes, and getting design work done, and having to print things 40 different times because it doesn't look quite bloody right, etc., etc. It's just it is a time-consuming project for sure, and obviously it doesn't pay the bills at all. You know, it costs money at this stage in the life cycle, and I've got a day job, so having to work all of this stuff around a day job, it's evenings and it's weekends, and it's actually pretty hard graft.
Well, fair play. And is there a concept behind the brand? A lot of brands will sort of develop a story or some kind of concept. Is there anything like that, or is it just literally fragrances that you think smell damn good?
It is the latter. It's fragrances that I think smell good.
Fair enough.
I think my catchphrase, slogan, whatever, is just unpretentious, simple, and beautiful. It's the three perfumes I've got are not, I don't think anyone's going to smell them and go, oh my god, that's some sort of crazy wow to a perfume that's so far out there that you'll sell three bottles of it to kind of guys with dreadlocks or whatever. These are intended to be pretty popular, pretty mass appealing perfumes, but just not clones or copies or anything daft like that. So they're all original creations. They take their cues from other things.
Well, that was going to be one of my sort of questions, Dan. Do you want to tell us what if the three fragrances have names yet? I don't know if you're at that
they
stage
do.
If they've been named. And then also tell us about each fragrance, the style, and as you say, they're definitely not clones, they're original, but what was the kind of inspiration behind them, or what was the brief? You know, what did you think when you was given the perfumer the brief to say, yeah, I want the fragrance to be this and stuff like that? So
yeah, I mean, there's three. They are all named after colours. There's Viride, which basically just means green. Blonde, which is yellow. It's the word I've used for yellow. And Carmine, which is a sort of deep red, but is a red fragrance. And the briefs were pretty simple. The green one is a sort of a fougère to rule them all kind of thing. Taking its cues from things like Beau de Jour, Invasion Barbar, Danger, New York Intense, Scandal, not say to take all these things and jumble them up, but it's like, these are the things I love. I want something in this sort of space, right? Similarly, the yellow one is, it's called Blonde, and it's very much a kind of beachy sort of citrus. Think of it as a sort of citrus top and a sun cream bottom, if you like. And that's really
love a sun creamed
really...
bottom.
Indeed, it's the best. It's the best way to maintain your bottom on the beach, I find. There's that, and then Carmine is a sort of deep rose oud, but it's not I don't think it's as kind of it's not as patchouli heavy as a lot of rose ouds out there. I think it's a little bit easier to wear than most of the rose oud, so it's almost like a rose oud light if you like. But it's still quite a sort of it's quite a strong perfume. It's got a lot of heft to it, but
along the lines of the rose fragrance that you named for Swedoft, Black Rose.
I wouldn't say it's quite along that line. That's got a sort of chamomile note in, which makes it very unusual, I think. But this is a bit easier going. The inspiration, and I don't mean inspiration as in clone me but the sort of here's a bunch of fragrances that I really love, it would be Roger Dove sort of style, Amber Ouds and Spirit of Dubai, Fahama, and I say that very specifically because we had a good debate on Facebook last night about how you pronounce that, and it's Fahama. There's a few other sort of references, like Fragrance du Bois, Sara Oud is another sort of reference point. And I don't think it smells particularly like any of them. But again, it's kind of here's like a triangle of three different perfumes, something somewhere in that sort of space. That would be marvellous. And we've just gone through a process of kicking them back and forth a bit. Hopefully we're ready to launch in November. I'm actually sort of selling samples at the moment, just on Facebook, which the way I'm doing it is I'm sort of saying to people, well, look, I can't, as much as I'd love to, I just can't afford to send out hundreds of these bloody things. No. So people are paying £10 for the three samples, and in return they'll get £10 off any bottle that they choose to buy.
Yeah, that's great. Very fair.
Which I think is reasonable, you know. More Absolutely. Than happy to give them away free if people are buying a bottle, can't afford to just punt, you know, 500 sample sets out into the ether without charging for them, because I'm already, you know, well underwater with this project financially. So
hopefully not for long.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, every success starts with some kind of risk, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
As we know, so that's exactly what you're doing. And I've got to say, you said all the right things in terms of fragrances that you've named that you like and were sort of inspirations. They're all sort of earth-shatteringly good fragrances. So I can't wait to try them. I'm excited now I've heard you talking about them. So
good.
I hope it is a big success for you. I'm sure it will be.
Thank you. Anyone listening,
please go on and follow Fragrance Weirdo on Instagram. That's fragrance_weirdo. If you're not following Dan already, you should be. Very prolific on Facebook and Instagram. If you want to keep ahead of this brand and of what Dan is into in fragrances in general, go and follow his Instagram account. Now, your brand has its own Instagram account as well. Would you like to shout that one out?
Yeah, it does. Thank you. It's Soma Parfums, all one word, Soma Parfums. And you'll be able to see on Soma Parfums, you'll be able to see some pictures of the bottles as they are currently, and, our last printed logo, which was crap, and, you know, says something like must do better. So we're getting some metal plaques made, but you'll be able to see all of that on the Instagram.
So you've shared a bit of sort of the process and the fails and the successes along the way as well. I like that. That's good. That's very transparent.
Just quickly, Dan, I think the podcast is running on a bit, so we might have to wrap up soon. But where did the what's the name come from? Where did Soma come from? Is that
So Soma is I think it's Greek for body. But it's, you know, there's no deep hidden meaning to it. It's not a word that sort of had some profound meaning to me or anything like that. It's just a word that I like. It has a nice kind of feel to it. And I was looking up, different words. Soma, incidentally, is the name of a record label from, and I think they're still producing electronic dance music under Soma label. Hopefully they're not going to sue us. Soma has popped up a few times. I think somebody mentioned the other day that it is the name of the drug given to control the population, I think, perhaps in Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. I may have got that wrong. It might be a different book, but yeah, it's got a literature impact as well. None of this was known to me at the time. I just kind of liked the
word. Dan, you're not supposed to admit that. You're supposed to reference all those as inspiration.
Yeah, yeah. No, it just sounded cool. That's all. Well, just make it sound cool. That's all.
Brilliant. Well, yeah, fantastic. I'm really looking forward to seeing how that launch goes for you.
Thank you.
Because I'm sure it's going to go really well, because you do have quite the following and a lot of respect in terms of your tastes and your opinions on fragrances. So I think, you know, knowing how many people respect your opinions, I think people would, dare I say it, risk a blind buy, maybe?
Well, wowza. Yeah, one can hope. And that's all I'm trading off here, by the way. I wouldn't know where to begin actually building a perfume. I'm just sort of trading on my ability, hopefully, to know quite a lot of perfumes and to know what smells good and what sells. So hopefully people will like them.
Yeah, I mean, that's an important thing to talk about, actually. We won't go into it in any great detail now because we need to wrap up. But I find a lot of perfumers that I've met actually don't have a vast knowledge of the world of perfumery and what's out there, much outside of their own brand. And I'm talking some big master perfumers here. I'm not going to name any names, but I've been explaining to some of the most renowned perfumers in the world what certain fragrances are and what they smell like and why they're popular. So you're going to get perfumers who are very aware of what's out there, but I don't think necessarily it is a prerequisite for a perfumer to know that. So I think probably to have a perfumer to work with someone like you who is very aware and has a vast collection, I think it's a good hybrid, it's a good combination. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's sort of we don't have a happy ending this week. I think that was happy enough. That talk about Dan's new fragrance line. Have you got any? Is there anything else, Steve, you wanted to mention?
A couple of things just from the Facebook group. Shout out Colin Murphy. He suggested. Do you remember? I think it was last week we had the rock star guy who was doing the Centenario. He was doing a gig. He plays guitar and he had a rock gig coming up. It was going to be hot and sweaty, and we were sort of thinking of fragrances. Shout out to Colin. He's got a great suggestion here. He said it has to be John Favatos's Dark Rebel. I think that's a good shout.
Nice one, Colin.
And I just also wanted to shout out and thank everybody that's kind of reached out to me and messaged and commented with regards to my comments last week about my mental health. Thank you. So shout out to David, Steph, Tony, Joel, and everybody else that I've potentially forgotten, that if you did reach out and show some support, thank you. I know there was at least one comment I saw that somebody actually did say it kind of motivated them to think that they should go and see somebody as well, which is exactly kind of why I sort of did it, really, just
even
in
if
case
just,
anybody was
it gives
one person that little kind of push to get over that inertia of reaching out to see someone, and then I think that was worth it. So, and hopefully it sounds like it did the trick. So yeah, so thank you for everybody else who did. Don't forget, this is called passing the buck, but don't forget, Chris, we need to warn our listeners don't forget to do that, and when we do a final shout out. But other than that, yeah, thank you everybody, and cheers for listening.
So yeah, this is going to lead me into just the Kajal giveaway mention, but before I do that, I noticed something in the Facebook group that in relation to the Kajal giveaways, people have been contacted by a fake scam Kajal Instagram page, which is saying that they're a winner and is asking for credit card details. Obviously, I would hope that you guys know that if someone's contacting you via direct message and asking for your credit card details, you would know not to give them. It is a fake account. I don't know if it's still active or if it's been shut down. It is not the official Kajal page, so just be wary of that one. So the Kajal giveaway, it's something we run every month. Every month Kajal are giving away a full bottle of their fragrance and a discovery kit. If you want to be in with a chance to win that, just go to their Instagram page, find the post that has the Scent Geeks written on the image, overlaid on the image, and share that, tag Kajal in it, and you are in with a chance to be one of our monthly winners. All right, well, I think we have found ourselves at the end. We're around about the hour mark there. So, Steve, it's been, you know, as good as always. Dan,
thank you
for coming back on the podcast. It's been great to have you, and we'd love to have you back on the podcast again if you'd. I think you should come back and update us maybe a few weeks down the line or a couple of months down the line, and let us know how the launch has gone.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I shall, of course, be harassing Steve every few days with stats and figures about why I should be back on your show. Yeah. And then I will pretend like you had
like
to
we
invite
begged you.
Me.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Yeah. All right, sounds good. Well, that's it from us for this week, guys. Hope you all have a great week. We'll be here for you next week, as usual. Hopefully, who knows what might happen between now and then. Anyway, have a week, geeks.
Bye.
We were the Sand Geeks.
Yeah.